Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Aaron Jeffries. Aaron is deputy director at the Missouri Department of Conservation. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. So we're going to talk a little bit today about conservation. Whenever I think of conservation, I think of my relatives and friends who hunt and fish, but I recognize that it's a bigger picture. When we talk about conservation in Missouri, let's talk about what efforts are underway generally, how the Conservation Department came about, and what its mission is first.
Yeah, I think it's always important to look back. With my dad being a history teacher here at Helias for years, I have to start there. But you look at the history of Missouri Department of Conservation, and it's rather unique, and there is no other system of governance in the nation related to conservation like we have here. You know, you go back to the 1930s, very few deer, very few turkey, elk, black bear were pretty much gone from the state. The Ozarks were burnt over annually. And at that time, we were a politically ran agency, political appointments. And group of citizens, the Conservation Federation at the time, was fed up and wanted to see something different. So through the initiative petition process, you know, the old way where folks went out and actually got signatures.
Right.
They went out and collected signatures, and it passed overwhelmingly, creating a conservation commission, which has constitutional authority to manage fish, forests, and wildlife. So that system worked great. But again, the Conservation Federation and others recognized that there was something missing in the 60s and 70s, and that was dedicated long-term funding. I mean, you can't grow a forest overnight. You can't restore a wetland overnight with an annual appropriation. So you needed to have some sort of long-term funding. So in 76, conservation sales tax came about, and that makes up about 62% of the department's funding, but allows us to do that long-term planning. So it's better known as the Missouri model, to have a leadership administration, the commission with constitutional authority, and then also the long-term dedicated funding. And part of that promise in 76, it wasn't just about hunters and anglers. It was actually about providing all citizens the opportunity to enjoy the outdoors or to have access. It's often called design for conservation, but it talked about the amount of land that the department would acquire, the building of nature centers, educational programs. And what's rather unique is, of course, hunters and anglers saw themselves in that picture, but so did folks from Springfield, from Kansas City, and from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And in the wee hours of the election night, it was the votes from Kansas City and St. Louis that carried the sales tax over the border.
Yeah. And you kind of touch on this. Missouri has a very rich environmental picture here, right? I mean, it's not all parts of Missouri are exactly the same.
I'll point this out as well. Citizens here in Missouri have actually tax themselves twice to support conservation efforts. The conservation sales tax, as well as the soil and water and park sales tax. So they've passed both of those. And I think that points to citizens really enjoying and valuing the outdoors.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what are some of the things coming out in 2023 that if I'm a hunter or an angler, they ought to know about.
Boy, I don't know how much time do we have here, but we got a lot of things to cover. You know, we have restoration efforts related to elk. We'll have our fourth elk season this year. Mm. We have a growing black bear population, so we'll have our third black bear season. There is a lot of concern right now with our hunting groups related to the decline in wild turkey population here in the state. So we're in the middle of a five-year research project looking at the impact of predators on poult survival. Mm-hmm. Chronic wasting disease continues to be a huge issue, which is impacting our white-tailed deer population. We've been very proactive in monitoring that disease and the spread of that disease, which has resulted in some pretty significant deer season changes that folks will see this year. At the same time, we have a growing deer population in many parts of the state. So this next deer season in 23, we're greatly liberalizing antlers harvest and actually adding some new seasons as well. So encourage folks to get online and take a look. For our trout anglers out there, we're starting a major hatchery renovation down at Bennett Springs. Basically going to be shutting down the hatchery there for a couple of years. It won't impact trout production because we manage the five cold water hatcheries as a system. So trout from Shepherd of the Hills can go to Bennett Springs and vice versa. But that's going to be probably a $30 million hatchery renovation that will greatly enhance our trout production and our ability to trout stock in our streams, as well as the community lakes. We have about 40 of those that are participating in our trout program, like McKay and Jeff City. Yeah. That's a few of the things related to hunting and fishing that are going on right now.
Yeah, well, let me circle back on a couple of them that perked my interest. So what are the changes at the hatchery that you will be able to do with this program?
Yeah, at Bennett Springs, nearly everybody's been to Bennett Springs.
Right.
The hatchery intake is actually failing. And so I've got my degree in fish and wildlife management, and I learned very early that fish don't live very long without water. So you got to keep the water going through. So if we're going to shut down the hatchery to repair the intake, we might as well repair and update the entire thing. So it's going to be an entire renovation of all the raceways, aeration systems. We're actually putting in a ground well as well that will allow us to pump fresh water into the hatchery when there's flooding going on in the stream. That tends to be the time when we lose the most fish. When there's a flooding event, it warms up the water, it stresses the fish. So by pumping well water in there, we can control that and minimize the fish loss that we may experience.
Okay. So now you also mentioned black bear and elk,
you know,
which were probably in the last generation anyway, a new concept of bringing them back into Missouri. So how has that gone?
Yeah. So the elk herd, we actually identified an area down in Carter, Shannon, Reynolds County back in 2010-11, brought elk in from Kentucky for 3 years. That population slowly been growing. We actually have staff out probably the next 2 weeks doing aerial surveys to figure out the count. You know, we're probably approaching 300. So the population is doing good. They're not spreading out that much. They're staying right there in that area. If you've had the opportunity to go down the Peck Ranch in October and see the elk, see them bugle and fight, it's pretty special. Mm. Our black bear population actually is from restoration efforts that occurred in Arkansas in the 50s and 60s. And that population has slowly spread north. And generally we have bears south of I-44. That's how I would describe it.
Okay.
And through the research efforts, we've been able to determine the population level, also realize that we could support a limited hunting season. And at the same time, we've realized, hey, black bears, that can create some issues for folks
sure.
as well. So we've repositioned some staff around the state to help with nuisance issues that pop up from time to time. A couple of areas that we're looking at as far as population expansion would be kind of the Lake of the Ozarks area.
Mm.
And then up towards St. Louis, those are heavily forested area. But also a lot of people, and that will create some challenges and opportunities down the road.
That was my next question, is what areas do you anticipate the elk and the bear to migrate to?
I really don't see the elk moving that much. That's what we've learned from other eastern states that have elk herds, that if you have the food and habitat, they stay pretty much right there and they're fairly content. So I don't see the herd spreading out of Carter, Shannon, and Reynolds County. The bear population, I think it will continue to grow at a slow rate with the main expansion up towards St. Louis, but even potentially up in the Gasconade County, maybe even across the river into Montgomery and Warren County, and then, of course, up through Lake of the Ozarks through that heavy forest corridor from the fort and up through there.
Okay. So other types of wildlife that you're considering reintroducing to Missouri?
There's a little bird down in the Ozarks that we're actually working with the Forest Service and University of Missouri. It's the brown-headed nuthatch.
It's a
little bitty bird. They're only found in pine woodlands and were originally found in Missouri in the 18 and early 1900s, but with the deforestation and all that, they basically left the state. We've been working in Arkansas down in the Ouachita Mountains to trap the little birds and bring them back to Missouri. Just a novel little restoration effort. But it's also exciting to know that we've been able to restore the Ozarks enough to support brown-headed nuthatches, elk, wild turkey, deer, and black bear.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, we're going to take a break in the podcast for a second. I want to share a couple things that are coming up from the News Tribune. So first, we're having an activation event. What's an activation event, you say? An activation event is where we will help you get logged in and use our digital edition of the News Tribune. There's so much stuff there, from photo galleries, videos, hot links to stories and documents. Get the full experience of the News Tribune through our replica edition. So just drop by February 9th. From 9 to 10 at our printing plant. And we'll help you get set up and show you some of the cool things that we do every day here at the News Tribune. The second thing I want to share with you is we want your input. We're doing a survey. We'd like to know how we can improve our service for you. So what are some things you like, some of the things you don't like? If you check out our show notes, we give you a link to the survey. We ask you to take the survey. You win a chance for a 3-month free digital subscription. All right, now back to our podcast. Let's talk a little bit about the nature centers, the other opportunities where folks, if they don't hunt or fish, where they can interact with conservation and benefit from it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're from Jeff City, I think everybody's blessed and realize how special it is to have the Runge Nature Center just right here in town off of 179. We have about a dozen other facilities similar to Runge around the state, Kansas City, St. Louis, Cape Girardeau, Springfield, and then, of course, down in Branson, a few others as well. But really provides that neat opportunity, whether it be walking on the trails or education programs or just the displays that provide that learning opportunity and that opportunity for citizens to engage and also appreciate the value of Fish, Forest, and Wildlife and what the department is doing to restore and manage our wildlife, Fish, Forest, and Wildlife.
I think you're right. Runge is a great example where most of our listeners would certainly understand the richness of that center there and the contribution the volunteers have with it also, how they can really bring that wildlife experience to life for people of all ages, not just kids.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize how many volunteers we have across the state, whether it's at nature centers, shooting ranges, master naturalists, or stream teams, or forest keepers. We have an army of volunteers that probably provide well over 100 full-time equivalent job positions that they're putting on programs, cleaning trails. They are part of the team, and we're blessed to have them.
So I always like to think about, so what are some of the opportunities and challenges that going forward with conservation that we Missourians should know?
I think probably one of the biggest challenges, and Missouri is ahead of other state fish and wildlife agencies because conservation is important to all citizens' approach instead of just focusing on hunters and anglers, is how in the 21st century does a fish, forest, and wildlife agency remain relevant to all citizens. And that's a huge challenge. How do we go about recruiting new hunters and anglers and retaining the ones that we have when we're seeing a major decline in many states, somewhat here in Missouri as well, is we're just not keeping up with the number of hunters and anglers out there. And I think that's probably one of our biggest challenges right there, is making sure all citizens value and appreciate conservation efforts because of not only for the economic benefits, but also the health benefits. I mean, you go back to COVID, and what did we see? We saw a huge spike in hunting and fishing permit sales. We saw an increase in day users and attendance at our conservation areas, which we've been able to document. And so if folks have an interest, they just don't necessarily have the time. I'd say some of the other big challenges we have, of course, chronic wasting disease in our white-tailed deer. Deer hunting has $1 billion impact on our state's economy. So when hunters go afield September through January, they're spending a lot of money to go deer hunting. So us managing that disease, trying to control the spread, is vitally important to our economy. Feral hogs is a huge issue in southern Missouri, intentionally released for the sporting opportunity, which has resulted in the destruction of agricultural fields as well as forest and wildlife habitat. So we've been working with other agencies, federal agencies and state agencies, to basically trap and eliminate feral hogs. Since 2016, we have reduced the number of watersheds impacted by feral hogs by 61%.
Wow.
So we've had a huge success there. And then I would say probably two more things as far as a big challenge is infrastructure. With the passage of the sales tax, we built nature centers, shooting ranges, hatcheries, boat ramps, major waterfowl wetland areas. A lot of those are around 30, 40 years old.
They require maintenance and repairs. And
yeah, so we have $1.6 billion in assets related to the infrastructure, and a lot of that is in need of repair. So how do we go about keeping that up, maintaining it, keeping it safe for the public and enjoyable for the public as well? And then last, it kind of goes back to the relevancy side, community conservation. With most Missourians living in St. Louis, Kansas City, Springfield, how do we provide that close to home conservation opportunity for folks to enjoy fish, forest, and wildlife? So working with city parks, not-for-profits to establish conservation efforts in major urban centers is one of our efforts and challenges right now.
Yeah. To me, along the same lines, it reminds me of, I can't think of the last time I went out hunting or fishing, but I think about the little bit of land that I have, how I want to conserve it, how I want to protect it, be a good steward of it. And efforts like the invasive plants and things like that, that I hear friends and family members talk about how they can target those things that kind of protect that native environment for Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, I think most citizens have an interest in fish, horse, and wildlife. Actually, we know they do based on the survey results that 9 out of 10 have an interest in fish, horse, and wildlife. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to restore a 150-acre property to wildlife habitat or a prairie. It could be as simple as putting up a bird feeder in your backyard or establishing a pollinator plot with native wildflowers in your backyard.
Right.
That's all important to advancing and promoting conservation efforts.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
I'll get right on that, fill my bird feeders up there.
There you go.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us today. And if someone's listening and wants to help volunteer, how's the best way that somebody can really get plugged into conservation's efforts?
Oh, I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but go to our website.
All right.
And do a search for volunteer programs, and that will pop right up. As far as it runs Nature Center, I would encourage you to just go out to the Nature Center, talk to staff there, and they can set you up and start you through the process. As far as our affiliate programs with Master Naturalists, our stream teams, our Forest Keeper, just go online and look for those organizations, and we'll get you set up.
All right. Sounds great.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Hey, thanks for joining us today, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.